संयोरावृणीमहे गातुं यज्ञाय गातुं यज्ञपतये दैवी स्वस्तिरस्तु नः स्वस्तिर्मानुषेभ्यः ऊर्ध्वं जिगातु भेषजं शन्नो अस्तु द्विपदे शं चतुष्पदे ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. We pray and worship the Supreme Lord for the well-being of all. May all miseries and shortcomings leave us forever, so that we may always sing in the sacrifices and for the Lord of sacrifices. May the medicinal herbs grow in potency, so that diseases may be cured effectively. May the gods rain peace on us. May all human beings be happy. May all other beings also be happy. May there be peace, physical, mental and spiritual. May there be peace on us forever. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Good morning to all of you and welcome. After a few weeks, we again have a wonderful opportunity to come back to our study of this hymn, Sadhana Panchakam by Shankaracharya. We have been studying this hymn for some time now. This hymn, as the name indicates, is a hymn containing five stanzas, Panchakam. Sadhana means spiritual practices. Five stanzas containing a list of spiritual practices that are enjoined upon us. Shankaracharya has packed a great deal of instructions, 40 instructions, in just five verses. So we are trying to understand and study these instructions. So far we have completed 6 instructions only of the 40 instructions. The first instruction, Vedo Nitya Madhiyatam, is an injunction to all of us to study our scriptures every day. This is something that is emphasized in the scriptures themselves, that we should study the scriptures every day. Swadhyaya pravachanabhyam na pramaditavyam. Swadhyaya means study of scriptures. Pravachana means sharing what we study so that our understanding may become deeper and clearer. That is the first instruction. The second instruction was taduditam karma svanushtiyatam. Not only study of scriptures, mere study of scriptures is not necessary, but we have to put into practice the instructions given in the scriptures. This is very much similar to what Narada Maharshi, the great sage, has instructed us in his devotional aphorisms. There Narada specifically says, Bhakti Shastrani Mananiyani Tadudbhodaka Karmani Karaniyani. Devotional scriptures have to be meditated upon, have to be reflected upon, and the instructions given therein should be put into practice. That is what Shankaracharya also says. The third instruction was, Teneshasya Videyatam Apachitihi. When we put into practice the instructions given in the spirit, in the scriptures, we have to do all those actions as worship of the divine. We have to convert all our actions as the worship of the divine. This is one instruction that Sri Krishna emphasizes repeatedly in the Bhagavad Gita. Fourth instruction, Kamye Matistyajyatam. Kamya means all objects of desires. Also it may mean Kamya Karma, all actions done with a selfish motive. we have to try to give up as much as possible all our selfish actions. All our actions must be placed in the largest possible context that we can imagine or manage. Not just for myself, self-centered actions, but as many people and non-human beings also. May the whole environment benefit from my humble action. And all this is done as my humble offering to the Divine, as my worship of the Divine. With that attitude, we have to do all our actions. That is the fourth instruction. The fifth instruction was Papauha Paridhuyatam. All the bad samskaras we have managed to accumulate by our unwise actions, thoughts and speech in the past, they are hampering our present spiritual progress now. We have to clarify them, purify them as much as possible by our present self-effort. Sixth instruction, the last one that we studied last time, Bhavasukhe dosho nasandhiyatam. We have to dwell on the disadvantages and the shortcomings and the undependable nature of worldly pleasures. We seek all worldly pleasures, hoping to find happiness. But as Sri Krishna very nicely describes in the Bhagavad Gita, our pursuit of happiness is a fruitless pursuit. As long as we seek happiness where it cannot be found, we are trying to find happiness in worldly pleasures, in worldly accomplishments, in worldly possessions and worldly relationships, which do not have any intrinsic power whatsoever to give us even an iota of happiness. But that's where we are seeking. Sri Krishna, the Lord Himself, who created this universe, who knows about this universe, He says this world is a world, joyless world. And having somehow ended up here, we have to take recourse to Him, we have to pray to Him. Lord Krishna gives this instruction in the Bhagavad Gita. Anityam asukham lokam imam prapya bhajasvamam. Forgetting that we in vain seek to find happiness in worldly pleasures, which is a fruitless pursuit. So we have to, Shankaracharya exhorts us to frequently dwell on the shortcomings of worldly pleasures. That was the last instruction that we studied. Now we go to the seventh instruction, which is Atmechavyavasiyatam. We just began to study this one last time, but we didn't have time to study it well. So the seventh instruction is Atmechavyavasiyatam. Atmecha means desire for self-knowledge, Atmajnana, Icha. Atmecha means desire for the self or desire for self-knowledge. Strive to achieve self-knowledge. That is the seventh instruction. Our mind and sense organs, as we know from our previous study, are constantly engaged with outside objects. In the Kathopanishad, Yama, this verse has come several times, and many of you have studied this verse in Kathopanishad. You are studying with Swamiji right now on Wednesday evenings. You notice that Yama points out specifically the natural tendency of the sense organs and the human mind is to go out into the outside world and seek constant engagement with sense objects with the hope that this contact will bring us pleasure, will bring us happiness and comfort. That is a gross misunderstanding. In the second chapter of the Gita, Sri Krishna says, what the mind construes as happiness is really no happiness at all. When the sense organs engage themselves in contact with sense objects, that contact is sometimes construed by the mind as happiness. But the problem is its uncertain nature and its undependable nature. The very same contact of the same sense organs with the same sense objects is today seen as happiness by the mind. And the same contact with the same sense object next day it will turn into pain. And the opposite may also happen. There is nothing certain or definite or permanent about this kind of happiness. This is called Vishyasukha, which is not really happiness at all. So in the second chapter, Sri Krishna says, Matras Parshastu Kaunteya Sitoshna Sukha Dukkhada Agama Apayina Onitya Tamtitikshasva Bharata. This context, Parsha, between one or more of the five sense organs of perception, Jnanendriyas, and one or more sense objects, is understood, interpreted by the mind, sometimes as Shita, sometimes as Ushna, sometimes as Sukha, sometimes as Dukkha. It is this contact of the mind and sense organ. Mind is also a sense organ in Vedantic thinking. This contact is simply interpreted by the mind, sometimes as happiness. The same contact with the same sense object later on turns into unhappiness. What gave us pleasure today, happiness today, that very same thing turns into a source of grief in the next moment. So that is not the way to find happiness. That the true happiness is the only source of all joy, no matter from where it appears to be coming, the eternal fountain of infinite, independent source of joy, infinite joy, is within ourselves, and that is our intrinsic nature. We are that. Not as if we have it. If we have something which is not intrinsic, it is likely to be separated from us. But that is what we truly are, according to the scriptures and the Upanishads and the sages. Anandam brahmeti vyajanat. That Brahman, which is our intrinsic nature, our very self, which cannot be separated from us, we are that. That Brahman is nothing but ananda. It does not have ananda as a property or a quality or a possession, but its nature is infinite, eternal bliss, unconditional, infinite bliss. That is what we have to experience. Forgetting that, we are trying to find happiness in the outside world where it cannot be found. It's a fruitless search. So the injunction, Shankara's seventh instruction, is Atmecha Vyavasiyatam. We should strengthen our desire to know the self, to gain self-knowledge, because that is the only thing worth knowing, worth acquiring. It takes a rare, discriminating person with a strong desire for immortality and with not much concern, with no concern for worldly pleasures which are totally undependable, which do not give us any happiness, which in the end will result in disillusionment. It takes a rare person endowed with strength and courage to seek the truth. That person succeeds in knowing the truth. This is what Yama says to Nachiketa in the Kathopanishad. Kaschid dhiraha avritta chakshu reverses the focus of attention, the direction of attention of the mind and sense organs from their outgoing tendency and makes all the energies and attention focus on the self within. It is such person who can achieve self-knowledge and enjoy permanent bliss, ananda. The external objects appear to be very attractive. They promise a lot, but they simply succeed in diverting our attention away from the self on which we should be focusing our attention. We have to strengthen our desire to know the self and not be carried away by the sense objects. Knowledge of the self is liberating. Brahma vidapnoti param, says the Taittiriya Upanishad. It's only the knower of the Brahman that reaches the supreme status. Knower of the world enjoys temporary pleasures. Shankaracharya says, knowledge of the world, as opposed to knowledge of the self, that only grants us bhukti but not mukti. Bhuktaye inatum muktaye. Shankara says beautifully in a beautiful verse in the Vivek Chodamani, in the couple of verses in Vivek Chodamani. He says, this worldly knowledge, this scholarship, knowledge of the world, no matter how deep and interesting and promising and worthwhile to some extent too, does not give us lasting peace and joy. It gives us worldly pleasures, worldly comfort, recognition, rewards, fame, and resources for a decent worldly life. We need to have that one. That is why in the Upanishad, worldly knowledge is not put down, is not belittled. It is, its importance is recognized. We have to have worldly knowledge, but that is while it is necessary for decent worldly life, meaningful worldly life, it is not sufficient. That is not the end. So Upanishad says, Dve vidye vejitavye paracaiva aparacha. Two kinds of knowledge have to be gained. One is paravidya, knowledge of the self, which is what Shankaracharya is emphasizing in this seventh instruction. Aparacha, aparavidya means knowledge of the world. It's necessary. It's a part of education. If we are well educated in knowledge, we acquire knowledge of the world, we are educated partially. Our education is not complete unless we also acquire knowledge of the self. The mind of an ordinary person, untrained mind of an ordinary person, it flows in many different directions and is unable to gather all its energies and focus its energies and attention upon one object to gain knowledge of that object. That's why we know a little bit of many things, but not really much of any one thing in depth. In the Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna says that a cultivated intellect is one-pointed and flows constantly with great energy towards one object and becomes one with that object. Whatever the mind associates itself with, in great depth, with great concentration, the mind acquires the quality of that object. It becomes one with it. When we focus all our attention, our mental energies, our attention upon one object, namely the self, then our mind acquires the quality, divine qualities. We get knowledge of the self that way. So in the Gita, Sri Krishna says, Vyavasayatmika buddhihi ekeha kurunandana bahushakha hinantascha buddhayo avyavasayinaha. The mind of an uncultivated person spreads out like branches of a huge tree in different directions. The difference between an uncultivated intellect and a cultivated intellect is like the difference between an ordinary beam of light and a laser beam of light. In an ordinary beam of light, the waves are all in different directions, in different phases. They flitter away so soon. So if you have a strong source of light, it will only travel 50 feet maybe at the most. Then it flitters away, can't see it, cannot illumine objects farther away. But if you have a laser beam of light, it travels long distances with great energy, with very little, if any, diffusion. You can cut metal also through a laser light. That is the power of a cultivated mind. So we have to cultivate our minds. So Shankara says, desire to know the self, atmecha, is a rare gift and accrues by the grace of the Lord. In the Vivek Chudamani, it's a very oft quoted verse, three things are rare to accrue to the same person at the same time. The three things are manushyatvam, mumukshutvam, Mahapurusha Samshraya. The Mahapurusha Samshraya means the company and blessings of a great soul, spiritually illumined soul, is the next instruction which we'll come to later. But in the Vivek Chodamani, Shankaracharya says, three things are very rare for a person to have at the same time, and all these three things happen, come to us only by the grace of the Lord, by divine grace. दुर्लभम त्रयमेवैतद्दैवानुग्रह हेतुकम् मनुष्यत्वम् ह्यूमन बर्थ मुमुक्षुत्वम् द डिजायर फॉर लिबरेशन डिजायर टू नो द सेल्फ आत्मेच्छा महापुरुष संश्रय द कंपनी एंड ब्लेसिंग्स ऑफ ए होली पर्सन इल्लुमिनेटेड पर्सन. मनुष्यत्वम मीन्स नॉट ओनली ह्यूमन बर्थ. If a person has a human birth, it does not mean that he is a human being. What is the hallmark of a human being? Not just having a human body. Many people have a human body, but they don't behave like human beings. That is not going to be useful. What he means is, manushyatva means human. The hallmark of a human being is the unrelenting urge to reach until the highest goal is reached. Not stopping until the highest goal. We accomplish it step by step. We go through many different diversions and different side routes. But the quest is always there. The urge is always there, driving us, propelling us towards that one goal, which is our destination. All of us are bound to reach that destination sooner or later. Some people go in a straight path without wasting any time. Shortcut, short road may not be necessarily scenic road, but some people take their own sweet time going through many scenic routes and diversions and stopping everywhere for a little bit enjoyment. But they also reach the goal. We are bound to reach that goal. We can expedite that journey, complete it with the dispatch, if we only gather our energies that we normally fritter away in pursuing worldly pursuits, hoping to find happiness. That the urge to reach the divine at the earliest, that is the hallmark of a human being. Until the goal is reached, stop not, Swami Vivekananda says. Stop not till the goal is reached. That is the instruction, that is the injunction. In the Upanishad, it says, Esha Upadeshaha, Esha Adeshaha. That is the instruction, that is the injunction. So we have to pay heed to this important instruction of Shankaracharya. Now the question is, why are we not doing that one right now? Shankara has a nice verse in the Vekchudamani, which also comes very often on many occasions. He says, there are three great distractions that divert our attention from our quest for the knowledge of the self. The three distractions are, he calls them, lokanuvartanam, shastranuvartanam, dehanuvartanam. Firstly, lokanuvartanam. Firstly, dehanuvartanam, in the order in which it is important to most of us. Dehanuvartanam means preoccupation with the comfort of the body. Preoccupation with fulfilling the needs of the demands of the body, the desires of the mind. We want to have this, we want to have that, we want to eat this food, we want to get the special treatment, we have to go to the specialist and we have to wear this dress, we have to buy that thing. This is the preoccupation which keeps us busy and away from our quest of the knowledge of the self. Dehanuvartanam, big distraction. How much time and energy and resources are spent in just about food, thinking about food, planning meals and where to eat and what restaurant and what menu. Lot of energy, time, resources are spent. It's a necessity to maintain the body. Sharira yatra pichate na prasiddhye da karmanaha. Sri Krishna says in the Gita, we have to take care of the body. Because that is the only tool we have for dharma sadhana. Shariram adyam khalu dharma sadhanam. Body is the first instrument, most important instrument, tool for us to do dharma sadhana, to achieve a spiritual goal. So it has to be kept in good condition. But that is not the goal, that is not the end. So dehana vartanam, too much preoccupation with the body and its comfort and its concerns. Second preoccupation is lokanuvartanam. What everybody is doing, what is happening in the world, celebrity gossip, sports gossip, World Cup cricket, whole country goes wild in celebration, which is to some extent okay. Otherwise, what those people will do, that extra energy, at least they are diverting in this way. What will they do with that energy? We don't want to imagine. Uncontrolled energy. So it is good that some channel is provided for them to give vent to their energy and enthusiasm in a decent way. That is good to that extent. But Lokanuvartanam means lot of energy, time, resources are spent in knowing about what other people are doing, what he is doing, what she is doing, what he said, what she said, gossip. That is a source of waste of energy and time. To that extent, it takes us away from our quest of the most important object, namely knowledge of the self. Lokanuvartanam tyaktva. The third thing is, some people spend an enormous amount of time and energy in pursuing scholarly knowledge, scholarship of the scriptures. Scriptures have to be studied. But study of scriptures for the sake of knowledge, for the sake of scholarship, is not the important thing. Scriptures have to be studied to know what the instructions they contain that we should put into practice. The scriptures are like a recipe book. We have to study the recipe book. We have to study the recipe to know how to proceed to prepare a dish. But merely keeping on studying the recipes, memorizing the recipe backwards and forwards in English and French, but not going to the kitchen to do anything, that does not help. We have got to study the recipe and put the instructions given in the recipe into practice and go to the kitchen, acquire the ingredients and start cooking. Then only we have a dish to eat. So Sri Ramakrishna says, mere study of scriptures is entirely fruitless. He gives a parable. In the village, there was a gentleman who received a note from his friend in a different village. Those days, there was no texting, email, telephone. People had to send notes through the bus driver or some passenger going to that town and request him to deliver it to somebody to whom the message was intended. So this man gets a note from his friend in a different village. The note says, please send a pair of wearing cloth and one share of some dish, some sweet, for some occasion. So what this person, recipient of the note, has to do? He has to go to the market, acquire those things required by his friend, and go to the bus stop, and if the bus is going to that town again, next bus, he should send it through the bus driver or some passenger who is going to go to that village to be delivered to that person. That is the purpose of receiving the note. Instead of that, this person keeps on studying the note again and again, never goes to the market. That person is waiting anxiously. My friend will send me one pair of wearing cloth and one share of sundays. He is waiting anxiously to receive the things he requested. But this person is reading it. Om, please send one share of sundays and five, one wearing cloth. Om, 108 times morning and evening. That is not the purpose why this note was sent. We have to put into practice the instruction required in the scriptures. That is why Shankara and Narada, they both say in the same breath, when they say study the scriptures, they say in the same sentence, they say we have to put into practice the instructions given in the scriptures. That's the purpose of studying the scriptures. Merely acquiring scholarship in the scriptures to impress people how much I know, that is not going to be useful. Vagvai khari shabda jhari shastra vyakhyana kaushalam vaidushyam vidusham tadvad bhuktaye natu muktaye. Beautiful verse, Shankaracharya says. This kind of scholarship, ability to interpret the scriptures with great proficiency, that ability is only for bhukti, to gain worldly advantages, a little reward and a fame and recognition and maybe some money. Natu muktaye, not for liberation. So what is important thing is to strengthen our desire to know the self, gain self-knowledge. And for that, we have to put into practice the instruction given in the scriptures. Now, the next question is, how to do this? Atmecha vyavasi yatam, Shankaracharya says. Strengthen your desire to gain self-knowledge, he says. The question is, how? He doesn't say that here. But elsewhere, he says, he gives three instructions. Three means or methods to strengthen our desire to know the self. Mumukshutva, he talks about mumukshutva, desire for liberation. In most of us, the desire is there. It appears in our mind. The desire for liberation, everybody has. Without exception, every one of us has. All human beings have. I don't know about animals. But the desire for liberation, namely self-knowledge or pure devotion, appears distorted in the mind in the guise of desire for happiness, which we seek in the most unlikely places. This desire to seek the highest joy, unconditional, independent, infinite joy, eternal joy, bliss, ananda, is the right desire. We have that desire, but it finds expression in distorted ways and results in our seeking that happiness in places where it is most unlikely to be found, namely in worldly pleasures, worldly accomplishments, worldly pursuits. That is the mistake that is happening. So Shankara gives three instructions in the Viveka Chudamani. How to strengthen our desire to know the self. The sloka is Manda Madhyama Rupapi Vairagyena Shamadina Prasadena Guru Seyam Pravruddha Suyate Phalam. Manda Madhyama Rupapi, even if the desire for knowledge of the self is mild or moderate, it can be strengthened, intensified. It can be made to bear fruit. How? By three methods. First thing is vairagyena, by practicing detachment from worldly pleasures, worldly pursuits, which do not give us any happiness. That we saw earlier. In the earlier instruction, Shankaracharya said, bhavasukhe dosho anusandhiyatam. Constantly dwell on the inadequacies and fruitlessness of pursuing for worldly pleasures in worldly pursuits. It's not the source of happiness. Some time ago, I told you a silly story. I feel like telling that silly story again. It's my favorite story. One evening, it was getting dark, and you have heard this story before, but it has a great message to all of us. In the evening time, the street lights had just come on, and a man was searching for something under the street lamp in front of his house. In front of his house, there was a street lamp, and there was a patch of bright light under the lamp, and he's searching for something there. The neighbor noticed it. The neighbor asked him, what are you searching for? What did you lose? This man says, I am searching for my wedding ring. Your wedding ring? Did you drop it here? Where did you keep it last time? You remember? This man says, yes, this morning when I went to take bath to the bathroom, I kept it on the dresser in my bedroom. When I came out, it was not there. And I am searching for it. You are searching for it here under the street lamp in the light? Why are you searching here? Why don't you go and search in the bedroom? He says, the bedroom, there is not enough light here. There is it's more convenient to search for it here. Bedroom is not there. The light is brighter here. I can search easily here. That is a silly story, isn't it? But isn't it exactly what many people are doing? If you examine our own pursuits, we are trying to find joy, happiness, peace, unconditional, unending, eternal peace we are searching. There's one common quest for all human beings, for animals also, but human beings. They're looking for happiness, we're looking for comfort, we're looking for joy, but where are we looking? As Sri Krishna says, you're looking for the joy in the most unlikely place where you cannot find it. He guarantees, anityam asukam lokam, imam prapya bhajasvamam, you have ended up in this world which is joyless, which is ephemeral. Dukkhalayam ashashvatam, he says in another place in the Gita. This is a place of suffering. We come here, as Swamiji rightly says, In his Karma Yoga lecture, Swami Vivekananda says, this world is not a place where we come to enjoy. That's a misunderstanding. We come to this world for one purpose. This world, Swamiji says, is a moral gymnasium. We come here to strengthen ourselves spiritually, to reach our goal of spiritual illumination. That's the purpose why we have been placed here. This human birth is the only platform from which we can spring to illumination, not from any other birth. That's why we have been given that precious gift of manushyatvam. And we have to understand the purpose of this human life, and we have to go about it wisely, not look for something where it cannot be found. So manushyatvam, so Shankaracharya says, even if our desire for liberation is moderate or mild, manda madhyama rupa api, we have to strengthen our desire to know the self. But our desire is not a strong desire. We have, but it is not very strong. Occasionally we think about God, occasionally we think about liberation, salvation, and the ephemeral nature of the human of this world. But that is only for the time being, and soon our attention is distracted and we become busy with worldly matters. Lokanuvartanam. So what is to be done? We have to strengthen, gather all our energies and focus our energies and resources and time to reach one goal, the only worthwhile goal, namely to achieve self-knowledge and liberation thereby. So the first thing that we have to do is to dwell on the fruitlessness of seeking happiness in worldly things. It's useless to look for happiness. We have to look for happiness where it can be found, and that is a self with him. Atmecha vivasinyatam. So vairagya has to be practiced. First instruction, to strengthen our desire, to wean away our mind and sense organs from their relentless pursuit of for happiness in search for happiness in the worldly things, and divert their attention to the self within. That is vairagya. Vairagya can be defined in many ways, but this is a doable way to develop a healthy, studied indifference, understanding of the limitations of worldly pleasures. Second thing is Shamadina, by the practice of six disciplines which he describes in Vivek Churamani and other scriptures. Vairagyena Shamadina. Shama, practice in tranquility of the mind, trying to remain calm in spite of adversities. Dama, control of sense organs, trying to control them from their roving tendency and make them their energies focus on the self within. Shamadama, Uparati, calming the mind and sense organs. Titiksha, practicing forbearance without complaining, without lamenting, calmly accepting adversity with the same grace with which we accept certain goods, happiness in our lives. Titiksha, Uparati, Shraddha, faith in the scriptures and the teachings of the sages based upon their experience. Samadhana, focus all the time, keeping in front of our mind the one ultimate goal of human life. We have many goals in human life. Things to do, list of things to do. We have many things in our list of things to do. And we have to frequently revise the priorities. And one of the things that we have to do is to achieve for liberation, to achieve for pure knowledge, to strive for pure knowledge, pure devotion, self-knowledge and pure devotion, for liberation, salvation. That is somewhere in the list. It is not missing. It is somewhere in the low priority. That has to be gradually brought up and made number one priority. And eventually that is to be only thing to be remaining on the list of things to do. Other things can be checked or crossed out as inconsequential, waste of time. So that is practice of vairagyena shamadina. One more thing has to be sought to strengthen our desire to know self, to gain self-knowledge. That is prasadena guruho, seeking the grace of the spiritual guide, of the spiritual. Who is the guru? As Sri Ramakrishna says, Satchidananda alone is the guru. Lord himself comes in human form to show us the way for spiritual illumination. So we have to honor, respect. When we approach a guru, how we should approach a guru? And what we should do when we approach a guru are all given in the scriptures. I'll not take too much time to go into those aspects. In the scriptures it says, tadvijnanartham, in order to know the ultimate truth, tat, gurumeva bhigachet, one has to approach a teacher. How to approach a teacher and what should be the kind of teacher, qualifications of the teacher whom you approach for self-knowledge? Upanishad says, samit panihi. Samit means dry twigs used in fire ceremony. Samit pani, holding a bunch of dry twigs, indicating humility and surrender and willingness to serve the teacher. With humility and surrender and willingness to serve the teacher, we have to approach a teacher, not with arrogance. Then only we'll be receptive to the knowledge that he is going to help us to gain. Samit Panihi, teacher must be Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. He has to be himself an illumined person. Otherwise, it is just like a frog being caught by a garden snake. Both the frog suffers and the garden snake suffers. If the frog is caught by, as Sri Ramakrishna says in his parable, if the frog is caught by a cobra, within the before the frog has time to croak three times, it is done. Taken care of, ego of the student is done. Cleansed, purified, student achieves the goal. Otherwise, both of them will suffer for a long time, agonize for a long time. Now, we don't want that situation. Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam Gurumeva Abhigachet. Then in the Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna says, when you see a guru, you have to do three things. Tadviddhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshantite jnanam jnaninastattva darshinaha. When you approach a qualified guru, Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam, a person established in the knowledge of God and well-versed in the scriptures, who has understood the essence of scriptures and has practiced these instructions given in the scriptures, we have to do three things. Pranipatena, first thing is to surrender with great humility. Pranipata means ashtanga namaskar, eight parts of the body touching the ground, indicating humility and surrender. I'm here to serve you, to inquire the truth from you. Pariprashnena means inquiry into the nature of reality. Not simply asking questions to show off how much one knows or to impress, but with great humility, one has to seek from the teacher knowledge of the self. That is pariprashna. Third thing is seva, by rendering personal service. By doing these three things, what happens? Prasadena guruho, we obtain the grace of the guru. That's the third thing required for self-knowledge, to require to strengthen our desire for self-knowledge. So Shankara says, manda madhyama rupapi, even if our desire for self-knowledge is mild and moderate, it can be strengthened. Suyate, phalam suyate, it bear fruit. The fruit of seeking self-knowledge is the fruit. Liberation is the fruit. Pravriddha bhavati, it becomes stronger, it grows in strength, becomes intense. Our desire for self-knowledge, which is mild and moderate right now, becomes intense and bears fruit, namely self-knowledge. So that is those are the three methods that Shankaracharya describes to strengthen our desire for self-knowledge. That self-knowledge must be intensified until it drives us crazy. Let it drive us mad. Does not matter. Let us become mad for God. We are mad for many things anyhow. We are already mad people. But why not we become mad for the highest thing, namely mad for knowledge of self or knowledge of God. Pure devotion to God. So Sri Ramakrishna, with the help of a graphic parable, he describes how intense our desire must be to know God. This parable is known to all of you because you are all studying the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna and Sri Ramakrishna's teachings. One day in a Gurukulam, in a teacher's house, in a hermitage, in a forest, where many students stay and receive knowledge, receive education from the teacher. One of the boys stood up and asked the teacher, "Sir, I have been attending your classes every day for many years now. I have been staying as a resident scholar in your home. But so far I have not achieved self-knowledge. I have not seen God. What to do? Why it is not happening?" The teacher smiles and he doesn't reply. He gently holds the student's hand and gently leads him to the nearby lake. And the teacher, who is holding the student's hand firmly, the teacher walks into the water. The boy has no choice but to walk behind him because his hand is being held firmly by the teacher. And the teacher keeps walking into the water. The water comes up to the waist level of the teacher, but to the neck level of the student. Student is shorter. Then the boy becomes a little bit panicky. What's going to happen next? All of a sudden, the teacher presses the boy's head under water and keeps it there under the water for a few seconds. The boy is struggling. Then the teacher releases the boy's head. The boy lifts his head from under the water, and with great relief he starts breathing again. The teacher asks him, "When your head was under the water, what were you thinking about?" "Sir, the only thought that came to my mind was, when am I going to get up and be able to breathe and live?" That should be the only desire, to the exclusion of everything else. At that moment, when the boy is struggling to breathe and his head under water, if you give him a cheesecake or Nintendo or PlayStation Sony 2 or something, he will push it aside. I want to breathe. Nothing else. Nothing else makes sense. All the worldly pleasures and enticements and fame and well-being and pleasures and these things do not make any sense at all. I want one thing, and the only thing is knowledge of the self or pure devotion to God. I want it. Shuddha bhakti, prema, raga bhakti I want. Nothing else makes sense. With that intensity, if we seek God, knowledge of the self, result will come. That is why Shankaracharya says, Atmecha Vyavasiyatam. That is the seventh instruction. The eighth instruction we will not have time to complete, but I will simply introduce it and we'll study it next time. The eighth instruction is, this is interesting, Nijagraha Turnam Minirgamyatam. Translated literally, literal translation of this sentence means, Nijagrahat Turnaminirgamyatam. Quickly, very quickly, get away from your house. Vacate your house. Become homeless. Aniketa. This is what Sri Krishna says in the Gita, describing the qualities of a true devotee of God in the 12th chapter. Sri Krishna says, Aniketa stiramatihi bhaktiman yas priyonaraha. Aniketa means homeless person. Literal meaning is homeless person. Swamiji also says the same thing. In his famous song of Sannyasin, Swamiji says, "Have thou no home? What home can hold thee, friend? The sky thy roof, the grass thy bed, and food what chance may bring. Well cooked or ill judged not. No food or drink can taint that noble self, which knows itself like rolling river free thou ever be. Sannyasin bold, say Om Tatsat Om. What home can hold thee, friend? Leave thy home." This is what Shankara says. Nichagrahat turnaminirgamyatam. Quickly get out of your house. Now, if you take it literally, it does not make much sense. We have to understand what do they mean, what Swamiji means and what Shankara means when they say home. Home is not the physical building where we live. Home is where? Our home is where the mind dwells most often. This world is our home. The mind has adopted this as our home, which is not our home. This is a foreign land. Next time, God willing, we will go to that famous song that Swami Vivekananda Narayan sang when he met Sri Ramakrishna in the early days. Let us go back once more to our own abode, O mind. So we will dwell on that topic. We will understand what is home, why Shankaracharya says, leave the home, go away. And where are we supposed to go away from home, leaving the home? We'll try to understand the eighth instruction next time. In the meantime, I thank you all for coming, and I shall say the closing prayer, and Swamiji will make the announcements. Om Sarve Bhavant Sukhinah, Sarve Santu Niramayah, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kaschid Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om. May all be happy. May all be free from distress. May all realize what is auspicious. May no one be subject to misery. Om peace. May there be peace and joy in our hearts. May there be peace and harmony amongst all beings. And may there be peace everywhere in nature. Hari Om Tat Sat Sarvam Sri Ramakrishna Arpanamastu.